I'm going to read through the Christmas story here and just learn a few things from it, some practical truths from it tonight. Again, I do want to thank you for your sacrifice and giving to our Christmas gift for Jesus. I know, you know, it's Christmas, you got grandma and everybody else you got to buy gifts for and all of that and bills, and just thank you for giving over and above your regular giving to help this need. We really appreciate that. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, excuse me, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." By the way, if our government could get away with it, they'd do that too. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for Christmas. Really, we thank you for Jesus Christ and, Lord, what he did for us. Pray, Lord, now as we are preparing for a holiday in which we're most of us will be with family, we'll have a good time with our family, we'll exchange gifts, the whole nine yards. But Lord, really, thank you for Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, as we just look at some practical aspects tonight, that you would show us some things from your word. Bless us in the short time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. On Sunday morning, We spoke from these same verses about the Christmas story. We spoke really from the aspect of how it is the story of mankind. Really, the story of mankind is that man went away from God. We chose to do our own thing. Sin entered into the world, and because of sin, we all owe a sin debt. But God, even before that happened, had already laid a plan in which our sin could be paid for. That plan is the Lord Jesus Christ. So from that aspect, Christmas is the time that God became man for the sole purpose of dying on the cross for our sins. That's what we looked at the other day. Today we're just going to look at several aspects of this story and just give some practical points that we can from it. As we mentioned, Christmas is becoming very secular. It's the, well, really, to be real honest with you, the name of Christ is trying to be wiped out. They'll never completely wipe it out. They just don't, they want to limit its influence. And there was a case in the last year and a half or so in the Supreme Court where on government property, if the name of Jesus was unconstitutional. Now, they have a problem with that because our founding fathers used his name quite often. And we've tried to wipe that away. No one's saying everybody in our country needs to be a Christian, although that would be great. But we do have the right to talk about Jesus Christ, and someone has a right not to want to talk about Jesus Christ. And that's our rights. But we're just trying to push them off to the side. It's very politically incorrect. And but as Christians, we need to understand the truth of Christmas. By the way, it's very doctrinal. You look at the story. God became flesh. What is that all about? The deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. God came down and took upon himself the form of creation. That's really a step down for him. But he did it for the purpose of dying for us. You say, what's the big thing about him being born of a virgin? You see, when Eve sinned and then she gave to her husband Adam and he sinned, the gene in us that would make, or the fact that we're sinners, that comes from our father. It's passed, that sinful nature is passed down from father to children throughout all time. But Jesus Christ did not have an earthly father. Therefore, he did not have a sinful nature. One of the new emergent church leaders has said it's not a big deal if Jesus was not born of a virgin. He said if we were to find out that in history that Jesus Christ had a father, and his father's name was Harry, it would not make any difference doctrinally to Christianity. He's wrong. It would make every difference. Jesus would be just another man, and he would have been a sinner, and when he died on the cross, he would have been dying for his own sin and not for ours. That's what. That's why the virgin birth is so important. And if you look at it, the birth of Christ is just prophecies fulfilled. Where he'll be born, where he's going to be raised, he would be taken into Egypt, all of it. And it's, by the way, it's not something that could happen on chance. You know, this skeptic's like, well, you know what? Jesus made sure he fulfilled the prophecies. Really? How can he guarantee where he was going to be born? How could he guarantee the time in which he would be born? By the way, like I said with evolution and all of it, it takes faith no matter what you believe. It all takes faith. But it makes more sense to have faith in what God says because his word is true. We're not talking about that tonight. So let's take a look at some practical truths in the story tonight. Look at number one. I want you to see throughout this story, God's providence. God's providence. What do we mean by God's providence? God working in the background in things that we would not understand to bring about his ultimate will. That's a providence of God. God is working. By the way, God is always working whether we realize it or not. God's always working. It may be something that we don't like, we don't understand, but that's okay. God's in control. God knows what's going on, and by his providence, his will is going to be fulfilled. Where do we see God's providence? Letter A on your paper there. In the taxing. Now, this was back for them, not for us, okay? In the taxing. We saw the verses where Caesar Augustus laid out a tax for them, and they had to go to their own city, even if they did not live there, to be taxed. By the way, that's not an arbitrary thing. God was using him, that political leader, that godless political leader, God was using his decree to get Joseph and Mary where they needed to be so that the baby can be born where God said he would be born. You know, we can only hope God's using our political leaders. I doubt it. But he used them here. How many things occur in our lives on a daily basis that are allowed by God and we don't like it? Some instances we may even fight it. But God is using those things to get us to where he wants us to be. The key for us is just to be faithful, to stay in his will, and be obedient. If we're serving God and we're doing right, things that come into our life, whether we like it or not, whether they're pleasant or not, we have to understand that God can use those to further his will and get us to where he wants us to be. You imagine them at this time in their life, like, we got to go over here and be taxed at this place. That was not good, but God was using it. By the way, that takes trust. Now, it's easy when good things are happening in life. Things are going our way. We're kind of skating along and everything's good. And yes, God's in control of everything. I get that. But can you say the same thing when things aren't going smooth? When it feels like maybe your life is starting to spin a little out of control and it's out of your hand. Do we still have the same trust to say, you know what, God? I know that you know what's going on and you'll use it for your will. That takes faith. That takes trust. So we see God working. The taxing was part of the providence of God. We also see the providence of God in the trip. The trip. They had to go to Bethlehem. Look what the verse says. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Here's the phrase being great with child. Okay? She was, you know, there's pregnant. There's like, oh, wow, you're pregnant. And then there's seriously pregnant. Okay? She was seriously pregnant. And if you ladies, you've been there, you know how that feels, okay? By the way, they didn't hop on a commuter train with shock absorbers and head out to Bethlehem. It was a rough trip. But they had to go. The timing was perfect. I mean, the trip was there. It had to happen. I wonder if they knew the scripture that stated that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. I wonder if they knew that. I wonder if they saw that, hey, we're going to be taxed, we have to go to Bethlehem. I wonder if it kicked in like, well, that's where the Messiah is supposed to be born in the first place. They had to trust God. It was not convenient. It was not enjoyable. Fact of the matter is, it was probably a bit dangerous, but it was necessary. And like anything else, it required obedience. The taxing comes and you got to go, obedience. How do you know I'm living a life of faith? Do you do what you're supposed to do when you don't feel like doing what you're supposed to do? Do you do what you're supposed to do when you're going through a hard time? By the way, let me say this. It's easy to tithe when the money's flowing in. If you're a good Christian, it is. Sometimes the more money you get, the harder it is to tithe, okay? But if, man, things are going well and you've been a tither, it's like, man, God's blessing me. I'm going to keep giving. Well, what happens if you get a cut in pay? What happens if things you start to tighten up? Boy, it's harder to be obedient then, isn't it? And it takes a little more faith to obey God then. What about when things seem like they're kind of spiraling out of control a little bit and your emotions start taking over and I feel like we should, and I'm thinking about obedience. So we see it in the trip, the trip that was necessary and yet probably not very convenient. We also see it in the timing. Letter C, in the timing. And it was so that while they were there being taxed, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. What do I see in the timing? I see the perfection of Scripture here. God's word is reliable. Why is God, why would that scripture be fulfilled? Because God is true. God said it, and so you know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. The perfection of Scripture. By the way, I encourage you, I implore you, if you're not in the habit of reading through your Bible, reading your Bible every day, I encourage you, get on board with that. Just be real honest with you. You're never going to go anywhere as a Christian if you don't read his word. You're not. Never going to happen. You can't just live by what happens at church. You can't just live by what you're learning through somebody else. God wants us to have a relationship personally with him. In my Sunday school class, we've been teaching through the life of David for probably the last 6 months. And we've went through all the stories. David's got a lot of good stories. Good, you know, it's almost like the good, the bad, the ugly. But it's all there. But through it all, whether David was going through a tough time, whether David sinned and had to get right with God, through it all, David was right there. David stayed with God. He came back to him when he started to stray. What was the key for David doing all those things? Won the victories. Took down Goliath. Had to run from Saul and kept his faith when he had to do that. Had his son stand up against him and try to wrest the kingdom from him, and he still stood. What was the key to it all? The key to it all was that David was a man after God's own heart. That was the key to all of it. And David had a close, thriving personal relationship with God. And that's what you need too. And it's not some mystical thing, you know. It starts in Scripture. I implore you, get in the Bible this year. Say, man, I've never read through it this year. Get with us. Schedule's coming out. Let's get it on this Sunday night, and let's get in it, and let's make it a part of who you are. Let's spend time with him. Scripture. Say, man, I've been reading my Bible for the last few years. Maybe you need to read a little bit more. We grow in our faith. But let's stick with God's word. It's the truth. And the timing was there because God said it was going to happen. We also see the providence of God, letter D, in being turned away. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. I find it very interesting that at the beginning of his life, Jesus is being rejected just like he was going to be throughout his whole life and as he is being up until this day. People still reject him. People still push him to the side. He was rejected. The first Christmas, and he's being rejected by most of society this Christmas. Let's make sure, as I mentioned on Sunday morning, that we stand for Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed to stand up and let people know, I love Jesus. Oh, if I let people at my work know that I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, they'll think I'm a freak. Well, let me explain something. They already think you're a freak. You're just going to give them a good reason. Okay? Listen, no, I'm not telling you to be weird. We used to have a guy many years ago, he'd slip into church and he'd have a t-shirt, you know, had flames on it. And it said, turn or burn. Then he had something on the back. I'm like, you know what? That's not real. That's weird. Okay, that's weird. But you know what? Just because there's some nutcase out there who said he loved Jesus and did something totally ridiculous, let's not be ashamed to let people know I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. By the way, some of you go to work, you tell your friends, the people at work, they may freak out. Let them know. Whenever I got a job anywhere, I found a way right off the bat to let them know I'm a Christian. I remember my first, I walked in and I was working the second shift, and I let them know right off the bat, you know, yeah, I know Johnny over there. I'm a Christian. We were in the same church. So they all knew right away. That first night, I'm sitting there at the order table, and I was getting some orders ready to be processed, and some guys came in from third shift. And some guy, just my first day at work, this guy comes over, one of the guys I just met. He goes, hey, Steve, I want to introduce you to this guy. He's a Christian too. I go, really? And he cussed at me. I'm like, okay, he's not a Christian. And by the way, that guy thought my name was a cuss word, and he had all kinds of names for us. But you know what? I'm glad I threw it out there. I'm a Christian. Yep. And by the way, I was nice to the guy. I'm not going to back down. I wasn't acting weird. But why don't we stand up for Jesus Christ? Let everybody else turn on him. But let us stand up for the Lord. So we see the providence of God. Number two, I want you to notice the angel's proclamation. When the angels came in the story, they gave some great information about this one. They told us several things about what his birth was and what it could offer. First of all, letter A, it's about getting peace. Getting peace. The angel of the Lord told them, fear not. Peace. People worry about all kinds of things. I mean, there's just so much. Look at, I don't listen to the news because it'd be discouraging. By the way, the news used to be about telling you what was going on. Yeah, good stuff. You know, now it's just all negative and it's an agenda based. It's all garbage. It's depressing. Man, if I listened to the news enough, I'd probably want to go jump off a bridge. I'm like, man, it is not a good society. By the way, I say it a lot. It's not a good society we live in if you're not saved. But man, those of us are saved, our society is an opportunity. And by the way, we can live above our society. But people are in turmoil. All the nonsense going on and all the stuff out there. And you think about it, it's like, man, what's going on? By the way, if I didn't know the Lord, I would be fearful for what are my children going to be living with? What are my grandchildren going to be living with? What are their children going to be living with? But I know this, God's in control. If I didn't know God was in control and I was some kind of atheist and all the garbage going on, I wouldn't have children. I'd be scared to death for them. But you know what? We can have peace. We don't have to live like other. Well, we talked about worry just a couple weeks ago. I get so worried about all this. What are you worrying about? If you know Jesus Christ, you have peace. He's in control. Everything's good. Just do what you're supposed to do. Peace. People are fearful. Especially at Christmas. People stress out. Enjoy it. You know the little phrase, know Christ, no peace. And then it's like, know God, N-O, no peace. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. If we don't know God, we're never going to have that peace inside of our soul. But you know how come that was all made possible? Because Jesus Christ was born. And now we can have peace. Also, he mentions letter B, the good news. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Do you know the gospel is good news? We don't think about enough. Think about when you were told about the good news. Can you think back to the day that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? We don't think about it enough. I can remember God dealing with me, and I was convicted. I knew I needed Jesus Christ, but I was you know, doing my own thing, and I went to church on Easter Sunday as a high schooler, and they had a guest preacher. I don't even know who the guy was. It was a guest preacher, and he got up. I do remember the story. He talked about when the disciples were fishing on one side of the ship, and Jesus said, hey, throw your net on the other side. All right. And they threw their net on the other side, and wham, they caught fish. And he said, many of you are casting your net on the wrong side. You need to come to Jesus' side. And he gave the gospel. And I'm like, I already knew I needed it. And when the invitation came, I was standing next to Pastor Esposito. He was not Pastor Esposito then. He was Joe. Sitting there next to him. He was already saved. And being kind and compassionate he was, he didn't even ask me if I wanted to go down. I asked him. Because he was new. I'm like, I should go down there and talk to that guy. Now, what a good thing would have been is, brother, that's good. Let me walk you down. He said, yeah, you should. Go. I'm like, okay. I come trouncing down the aisle myself. Met the pastor. I think it was Larry Webb at the time. Said, I need to get saved. Some guy took me out to the side of the church, sat on a couple chairs. He didn't have to witness very much. I already knew the truth. I already knew the gospel. I had been rejecting it. He told me the gospel, and you want to trust Christ? He said, and I said, yes. And I never forget when I went home, that burden was gone because I knew I needed to be saved. You know where that all started? It started in eternity, but it started physically when Jesus Christ became man. The story was set in motion. The wheels were spinning. It's good news. Jesus, look it, never be ashamed to talk to people about Jesus. Never be ashamed to be, listen, well, they'll make fun of me. Can I just tell you something? Some people will, but that's a small price to pay to get the good news out. Well, some people won't listen. And you know what? We're not jamming it down their throats. We're not grabbing people and throwing them on the ground and you're going to get saved. We share the good news. Some people don't want to hear it, and that's fine. But it's still good news. And maybe there's that one person that'll hear it. The gospel is good news. Let's always remember that. Letter C. Also, the angels say it's great joy. Great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. We've talked much. You know, it's funny. God commands us to be joyful. It's not optional. He says, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, you do that with your kids sometimes. They're getting in trouble. It's like, hey, quit crying. Be happy. Okay, they're not going to be happy. They just got in trouble. It's like, you know, you're commanding them. God says, hey, rejoice. Now, why would God command us to do something that would not be possible for us to do? Because God knew that if we're with him, we ought to have great joy. You ever see someone that's miserable? Years ago, when we first moved back to California, I got a job as a dispatcher at Bowman Transportation, a trucking company. And there was another guy in the office there. And this guy just had he was not loud. He was not necessarily mean-spirited. But, man, he had a bad attitude. Just never happy. Always bummed. It's just like, guy never smiled. Now, he wasn't mean-spirited or anything. It's just like, that guy just is not happy. I remember one time I had to go from dispatch office up to the regular office, and I was up there, and he started talking to me, and he's like, I'm a Mormon. And he offered me the Book of Mormon. Now, I didn't say it. I talked to him about me being a Christian, but I should have said, if that's what Mormonism does for you, I don't want it. It's like, man, if it's really that good, you might want to smile. You might want to be happy. I'm a Mormon. Wow, I'm bummed out too. Okay, I didn't want what he was buying, what he was selling. Listen, if you're saved, you ought to be joyful. Man, our sins are forgiven. Let's say, what's the worst thing that happens? I die. Hey, you go to heaven. Joy. This time of year, unless you're at the shopping mall, people are nicer and more happy than they normally are. I used to work when I was in Bible college, I worked at Solo Cup, and it was a 24-hour operation. We would work 8-hour shifts. So there was always somebody working, so all the breaks were rotated. In other words, every time there was someone in the break room, and it always rotated because, you know, they didn't just shut down. Everybody took break 24 hours. So you'd go in the break room, and you'd see different people coming in and out because your break was at a different time. And there was these ladies. There were several of these ladies, and they were just really, what's the word I'm looking for? Broom flyers. There was a couple of them and you'd be sitting in the break room, and these two ladies would be like snarling about some other lady, and then one of them would say, oh, my break's up, I have to leave, and another lady comes in, and they start in about the lady they were just talking about. It's just, and they just, and it's like, it was bad. Well, we worked third shift, and it was the last shift before Christmas break, and that shift was basically, we'd do a little bit of work, but it was just a Christmas party. They'd bring us food, and we did a little bit of work. We clean up. We got off at 6 in the morning. Work stopped about 4, so we're just sitting around doing nothing. And I remember, here are the ladies. They all flew into this one area together. Their brooms were invisible. And they all started singing Christmas songs together. Christmas songs together. And I had nothing to do. I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, that lady always talks about that lady. That lady's always talking about that lady. And I'm thinking, but here they are because it's Christmas, singing songs together and having a great time. And then a thought came to me. That doesn't happen very often. And I thought, man, you know the kind of joy that they're having right now just because they're going to get a couple days off? And by the way, when New Year's comes back, they'll be flying around, hitting each other and all that stuff again. But I thought, the joy that they have right now just because it's Christmas is the joy I have every day of the year because I know Jesus Christ. There's got to be something more in our life. Joy. God wants us to have joy. D, global influence. Global influence. We got to hurry. And the angels said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy. Next phrase. Which shall be to all people. Man, the Great Commission is right there. In the story of Christmas is the Great Commission. This is not an isolated story just for the Jewish people. This is something that God wanted to get out to the whole world. We call that missions. We call that the Great Commission. And we believe it still to this day, and Jesus preached it while he was on this earth. You see, the good news we have, God doesn't want us to just hold it in Long Beach. It's not just for our church. We are supposed to be responsible to get that out to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to get it out to everybody. Say, man, why do we push missions around here? Why do we encourage people to give on a regular basis to missions? Because it's good tidings for everybody. Everybody all over the world needs it. And we're all supposed to be involved in it some way. Why would we? Listen, I don't want Brother Vong to leave. Well, actually, him. I don't want his wife to leave. He can leave. You know, we don't want to. We don't see Joanna leave. We don't want to see any. Now, Brother Board, we wanted him to leave. Brother Esposito, we paid him to leave. Just kidding. These are our people. Is Adrian? Adrian's here somewhere, right? We kicked him out, so I don't know about that. I think he was deported to Puerto Rico, and then he hopped over to Cambodia. We don't want to lose any of them. But we're not losing them. They're going to do a work somewhere where it's needed. And so we joyfully release them. We want them to go do the work. Why? Global influence. Letter E. Go see. He tells them to go see. It says, go find them. Go find the Messiah yourself. And that's really, let us, how do you find out that Jesus is good? You got to dive in. Okay? I can tell you serving God's wonderful, but unless you do it yourself, you're never going to get it. We got to hurry. Number three, we see the shepherd's persistence. Shepherd's persistence. They took heed to what the angel said to them, and they went their way quickly to see this newborn king. Letter A, they were seeking. Came to pass that the angels were gone away from heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is done to pass, which the Lord hath made known. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. They went after it. They were actively seeking him. That was their priority. The angel said, go find him. They said, we're out of here. Let's go. Okay? We seek the Savior. We ought to seek him today. The bumper sticker and the little, you know, there's so many Jesus is a reason for season, all those little phrases. Wise men still seek him. And we ought to be seeking him. We talked about that earlier when we talked about our scripture. Letter B, sharing. Sharing. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. You know, what happened is, They heard from the angels, they went and found them, and man, they had to tell everybody about it. That is Christianity. One of the first things when you get right with God and you get excited about the Lord, you start telling people. You don't know necessarily even what to tell them, right? I mean, I'm a Christian, I go to church, what is that? I just tell my friend, we need to come to church. They're like, what is that all about? Like, I don't know, but just come. Two of my closest friends were a couple of Filipino guys I hung around with right across the street from the school. That was not good for my school attendance, but we were good friends, and you know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, I said, you need to come to church with me. And they're like, what happened to you? I'm like, I couldn't explain it. I said, you got to come. And then they come to church, and at the end of the message, I didn't wait for them to see if they wanted to meet Jesus. I said, come here with me. I want you to go talk to somebody. And I'd bring him down the aisle. I brought him down to Brother Sisson because I knew him. I'm like, hey, you got to talk to my friends here. And some of them got saved. Some of them didn't. Okay? But man, I got to tell somebody what's going on in my life. And the shepherds were like that. They were sharing. Letter C, and the last thing. We see spirit. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen, and it was told them. You know what that meant? Let's just have a good spirit. Look what God did. Look what's going on. Hey, let's have a good spirit about what's going on in our lives. You can have a. Don't see the negative in everything. That's easy. If you serve God, it's all good. It's all good. You say, but I'm not feeling it. It's not there. Then something's wrong. If God wants us to have joy and we don't have joy, maybe that's God's way of telling us something is wrong in my life. Maybe I need to adjust something so I can get that joy in my life. Hey, at your work, people you meet, they ought to say, I don't know about that guy, but man, there's something about him. He's got a good spirit. He's excited. It's like, you know why I'm excited? Because I'm saved. Because I know Jesus Christ. Christmas isn't about gifts, although we'll give gifts. We'll do the whole nine yards, and we'll have the meal, all that stuff. But it's more than that. And by the way, that doesn't end December 26th. It doesn't end December 26th. I mean, it's good on January 25th. It's good on February. It's good all year round. Let's be excited because we know the Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you.